Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. It's the 7th of November 2012, and today we're talking to Ian Henshall, all the way from the UK. Ian Henshall is available at reinvestigate911.org. That's reinvestigate911, the numerals, .org. And you can find all sorts of information there about his ongoing investigations into 9/11 and also an upcoming State and Corporate Crimes Against Democracy conference that's going to be being held this weekend, this Saturday, November 10th, in London, featuring some very prominent guest speakers. So I'm excited to talk to Ian about that. Ian, thank you for joining us on the program today.
Thanks a lot, James.
Well, first, let's start by hearing a little bit about yourself and reinvestigate911.org.
Well, I've always been a sort of fringe journalist, you know, not really wanting to work full time for the corporate media, but would have liked to have done if they'd been worth working for. I went to Oxford. I knew all sorts of people at Oxford University who are now complete sellouts, but weren't in those days. Then, you know, when 9/11 happened, I'd been watching the CIA for years. You know, I was aware of Operation Gladio, where NATO organized false flag attacks all over Europe during the Cold War, although I'd forgotten a bit about it, to be fair. It was 10 years later by the time 9/11 happened. I think we all forgot quite a lot in that period. And then, you know, when 9/11 happened, I thought, that's odd. I didn't know Al-Qaeda had this sort of capability. I wasn't an expert. You know, I noticed some people saying that only a state could have done something like that, and that seemed sensible to me. And then when I heard about the passport that they found in the rubble, I just thought, no, you know, this is some sort of a setup. They couldn't possibly have found that passport like that. And why would they lie about it? So, you know, that's what got me into 9/11.
Indeed. And tell us about the website and how that came together.
Yeah, well, I co-wrote a book called 9/11 Revealed with Roland Morgan, who had been a columnist on the Guardian newspaper. But The Guardian wouldn't touch our book, but the Daily Mail did. And we actually were a bestseller, a non-fiction bestseller in about 2005 in the UK. We came under quite a lot of attack, though, from 9/11 skeptics in America. They said that we were considering too many theories and we should just narrow it down to the towers collapse. And in those days, I think they had some justice. We did look at theories which have proven to be, I think, probably wrong. But our idea was to give a survey, you know, a journalistic survey of the issue. You know, we weren't really trying to write a sort of definitive account of what happened on 9/11. I don't think anybody can really do that at this stage because they've managed to keep so much secret. So then, you know, I brought out another book written by myself called 9/11 and New Evidence, which is a bit more cautious and, you know, without considering some of the other theories. Just a sort of fairly reasonable establishment-minded book, except, of course, the establishment won't go near it because none of them have got the guts to admit that there's a lot of unanswered questions about 9/11 and it was quite likely an inside job. You know, they won't even go that far, most of them, as we all know.
Although I do note that you managed to get on the George Galloway program, and George Galloway being, of course, a well-known skeptic about 9/11 skepticism, that is to say, a supporter of the official story. So how did that come about?
Well, he is and he isn't. You know, he's a very schizoid sort of guy, and he tends to sort of tailor what he's saying to his audience. So, you know, if he's in a sort of UK Stop the War meeting where they're all, you know, very, how could you call it, straight-laced sort of traditional leftists, he'll start going on about conspiracy theories being a waste of time and so on. But then, you know, if you get him in a different environment, like on press TV, I was talking to him on TalkSport, which is actually a mainstream UK radio channel, but they were very sympathetic to 9/11 skepticism. And I think he got the hint from the producers that they weren't looking for him to just attack me. And he now realizes that World Trade Center 7 was probably some sort of controlled demolition and that the CIA are involved up to their eyeballs, which, you know, any leftist should know. I think the problem is that the corporate media have promoted what you might call sort of fake leftists or, narrow-minded leftists who are prepared to follow their agenda So you've got people like George Monbiot, Nick Cohen. I don't know how well familiar you'll be with these figures in the UK left. In America, you've got The Nation magazine and Mother Jones, where there's a guy called David Corn, who, you know, is a highly suspicious guy, seems to have links with the CIA, and yet the left in America trust him as being, because he writes a good article. You know, he does. They do write good articles, these guys, but that doesn't necessarily make them either intelligent or honest.
Unfortunately not. Well, let's talk a little bit about this SCAD conference that's coming up. And this first, let's start to talk a little bit about the idea of this, the State Crimes Against Democracy, which was something that I first heard about really through Project Censored back in 2010, when they were, ironically enough, censored for an article they attempted to write about SCADs, the State Crimes Against Democracy. Let's flesh that concept out a little bit and then talk about the conference.
Yeah, well, the idea is that historically, 9/11 wasn't just a one-off. It's pretty much how they operate, you know, how the elite. Of course, now we've got the concept of the 1%, which came just after the SCADS concept came out. And, you know, it is getting to be more familiar to people that there is a 1%. Actually, it's not 1%. It's more like 0.1% or 0.01% who have an extraordinary level of influence and control, which the establishment won't recognize. They sometimes call them the dark forces, or, you know, I mean, the Queen was even caught talking about the dark forces, which we don't inquire into, I think is what she said. So it was really, the idea is to focus on the illegal things and the sort of semi-legal things and the dishonest things which the elite do, and which the traditional left is reluctant to get involved with, partly because they depend for the little publicity they get on the mainstream media, as up until recently, you know, we all have. And so I don't blame the left. They've had it ingrained over their lifetimes that if you attack the media, you won't get any coverage at all, and then you'll just go nowhere. So they do this deal with the devil, you know, we'll collude with your idea that everything you're telling us is the truth and the whole truth, and then we'll go out and attack people as conspiracy theorists who don't agree with that, you know, and it's a pretty ugly deal, basically. And, of course, it wasn't helped by the fact that there are quite a lot of wild people on the what you might call the far right, who also are into 9/11 truth, you know, who are sort of blaming Israel and blaming space beams and all sorts of things, you know. So I imagine if I was at the CIA, I would have made sure that the, you know, the wilder shores of 9/11 skeptics were sending lots of emails to people like Noam Chomsky and David Corn, you know, to give them the idea that we're all lunatics. And these guys are so naive, they wouldn't have even think that anything like that was happening in a systematic way. But sometimes they make comments which make you realize that they've got a very strange idea of what 9/11 skeptics think, mainstream ones like us, and somebody's misinformed them. Either they're deliberately trying to misinform their followers, which I think is a bit unlikely. I think it's more likely that somebody's successfully misinformed them and, you know, has played them. These guys like to think they're very clever, but actually, you know, the people in the CIA are pretty clever as well. And I think they're getting played by the CIA together with a handful, probably just, of out-and-out infiltrators who they trust, unfortunately. And we can't say for sure who they are, but I would look at David Corn, you know, if I had time to investigate it. But anyway, yeah, there we are. That's how the SCADS concept, you know, came to fruition. And now we've moved even a little bit further than that. We're talking about accountable democracy and an actual program, you know, for how you might reform this system if there was a sort of revolutionary situation, which we do have now in Greece and increasingly in Spain. And with the Occupy movement, you know, which we obviously fully support, they may well be able to bring about some sort of grassroots movement in the States. And then the need will go out for somebody to have a program ready, which is realizable and lawful, you know. Because after all, let's remember that this elite, they're the criminals. You know, it would only take an independent police force, and these guys would all be in jail. Now, of course, it's a long way, you know, to having an independent police force because they control the police. But in a revolutionary situation or a situation of great public anger, then, you know, that we could possibly get their control, prize their control away from the police. And then, you know, quite a lot could be done just by the use of the criminal law.
Well, let's talk about the conference itself. This is the third State and Corporate Crimes Against Democracy conference, and I like the way that you've amended that because I think it's important to implicate both the state and corporatocracy in this as in a collusion, basically, to bring about these crimes. And this is the third annual conference or just third conference?
We've been doing them every 6 months, actually. You know, and this latest one seems to be, it's going to be better attended, you know, than previously. So, you know, bearing in mind that people are short of money, they're short of time, they don't all live in London. You know, we're hoping to get maybe 150 people, which you know we'll be taking that as a big success. We haven't advertised it anywhere, just given out leaflets, you know, in the usual way you do. But we're stuck. We can't reach our market. Our market really is, you know, sensible, intelligent people everywhere who are concerned about the wars and the elite. But, you know, if you try to take out an advertisement in the Guardian newspaper, they'll charge you punitive rates because they don't want you to get to their audience.
Well, let's talk about some of the speakers who are going to be appearing at this conference.
Yeah, well, we've got, I don't know who to put first, really. Let's just take them at random. We've got Cynthia McKinney, who we're going to be doing a Skype interview with, and we're hoping that, you know, it'll be one of the early bits of, you know, observations on the US election results that we'll get a good interview with her. Let's hope she goes to a good Skype connection. Then we've got Lars Schau, who's a financial journalist who talks to a lot of interesting people. He's hoping to interview Ambrose Evans-Pritchard from the Daily Telegraph, one of the few people in the mainstream media who think outside the box on currency reform. We've got Niels Harrit, who I'm sure, you know, very well-known guy. He's coming over to talk about his campaigning activities. We should have all this on our website, you know, within a couple of weeks, accountabledemocracy.org.uk. We've got Tom Secker, who's done quite a lot of work on the 7/7 attacks in the UK. He's an investigative filmmaker, very, very professional guy. We've got Dan Glazebrook, who writes for The Guardian, as well as Al Ahram and Russia Today. He's talking about the Arab Spring and how, you know, the NATO has tried to hijack it and turn it into yet another NATO bloodbath. Who else have we got? Annie Machon, who defected from MI5 and has been very, very active in the 9/11 truth movement. She's got a bit tired of that. She did heroic work in the UK for about 5 years, and now she's working for LEAP, who are the law enforcement against drug prohibition. So she's going to tell us a bit about that. We've got David Southwell, who's brought out many books on investigative books, you know, and isn't frightened of the establishment. He knows they're not going to take much notice of him, but he's a pretty well-known journalist and author. We've got John Bailey from the Campaign for Press and Broadcasting Freedom. He's a National Union of Journalists guy, and it's useful to get those guys on board. Unlike the actual mainstream journalists who get all the coverage, the National Union of Journalists has always said that 9/11 should be investigated properly. They've written that in their own magazine, but of course it's been ignored. I think that's about it. It's probably enough for one day, James.
It certainly is. It's going to be one very packed day. And that's, again, taking place this Saturday, November 10th from 9:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. For people who are actually in London or can get to London for that day, tell them about where this is going to be taking place.
Yeah, this is at Friend's House. It's right outside Euston Station. It couldn't be an easier venue to get to. We're charging £12 entry, but less for concessions. It will be a very full day. Do turn up. The tickets are selling well, but I'd be astonished if it's standing room only. Let's be realistic, you know. But you'll get a seat. You'll enjoy it. You'll be glad you came. and that you didn't just sit at home. You know, I know what it's like. You really feel like staying at home sometimes, especially in this winter weather. But you will feel great by the end of the day. You'll realize that there is hope. There is a way forward. There's a lot of other people out there. You don't need to be informed by the media nowadays, by the mainstream media. So, yeah, you know, look forward to seeing you.
And people who are interested in buying tickets in advance, how can they do that?
Yeah, they can go to, my coffee business, which I happen to own, has got a facility for buying online. So you can go to coffee.uk.com/tickets, or you can telephone 0208 from England, 0208-453-1144. To pay by phone. You know, we take credit cards, obviously. You've got three ways. You can get it reduced today, tomorrow, by going to coffee.uk.com/tickets or telephoning, or you can come on the day and you will pay a little bit more, £12, £8 in advance.
All right. Well, Ian Henschel, that is one amazing lineup, and that's going to be a lot of people to cram into just one short day like that. So it's going to be, I'm sure, quite an exhilarating experience, but I'm sure quite an exhausting one for you behind the scenes. So I hope people will be checking that out. Once again, what are the websites that people can go to find out more about Accountable Democracy, Reinvestigate 911, and anything else that you'd like to tell people about?
Sure. We've got Accountable Democracy, that's just all one word, .org.uk. We gave it that extra suffix when we found out that if it's just called .org, the CIA and the Americans will consider that they want to arrest you and deport you if because it's counted as American territory. So it's accountabledemocracy.org.uk. And then we've got Reinvestigate 911. That's the 911 run written as numbers. And that's just .org because we didn't know about the American jurisdictional claims at that point. And then... we've got Reinvestigate 911 and Accountable Democracy. But to buy the tickets, you've got to go to coffee.uk.com.
All right. And of course, I'll put the links to all of those things in the show notes for this interview. So Ian Henschel, reinvestigate911.org, thank you so much for your time today, and good luck with the conference.
James, you're a great guy. You do wonderful things for the cause, and thank you very much for having me on.